Weekends on the Fanatic. Jamie Lynch and Andrew Salchunas. Sports never stops. Listen all weekend to 97.5 The Fanatic. Philadelphia.
Happy Sunday morning, everyone. Welcome into the Sunday morning Wake and Bake Show. I'm Jamie Lynch. And as always, with me is Andrew Salchunas. We got Dylan McKinnon producing today's show. Hopefully, everybody's having a great weekend. It looks like we have a absolutely brutal day of weather ahead of us. Could be the first time in over 30 years, they're saying, a hurricane makes direct landfall with, like, Long Island.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, I think they evacuated Fire Island up there. It's supposed to be pretty bad, so I'm sure we'll get the side effects of that, the side storms.
You know what? I'll be honest. Oh, well, I hope everyone's safe.
I kind of like a storm.
Especially on a Sunday, where this is the first Sunday where I have nothing to do, and I can't tell you how long.
Is Christy working?
Nope. She's home. She's had bachelorette parties the last two weekends. I've been down.
Oh, sure.
It's chill out time.
And so she's like, what do you want to do today?
Nothing.
I go, you know what? Nothing would be nice.
I love those days.
So I can't wait to just get home and sit my rear end.
Yeah. It's probably going to be a big Pixar, watch some movies with Skylar type of day.
I might watch Pixar without a baby.
I
could go for some Toy Story right now.
I watch a lot of Toy Story.
You got a friend of me, bro.
Yeah. I'm a big Moana fan. The Rock kills it.
That's right.
As Maui. You know, so we'll probably be inside most of the day. Hopefully everybody doesn't lose power and doesn't get inconvenienced by the absolute crap weather. It feels like it's been raining for six straight days. And to go with our crap weather, we have crap baseball results.
Yeah, how about that last night, huh?
Yeah, so I got home from the AACR beer tour yesterday.
How was that?
It was great. Mr. Pat Egan was nice enough to drop me off at home, so I had a designated driver.
Well, that was kind of his role, right?
Well, we had Imagine Lifestyles and Entertainment.
Oh, really?
Provided,
oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
that's
a driver. He was the man.
That's cool.
And he took us around all day, and then Pat took me home, and I got home, and the Phillies were looking great.
Yeah.
And John Kincaid has a thing. Anytime he leaves Pennsylvania is when Aaron Nola throws his absolute gems.
You were saying that Friday.
So he was down in Atlanta on Saturday night. And what happens? Aaron Nola goes hitless through six. Perfect through six.
Perfect through six.
Which is incredible. This is he's one of the more confusing individual seasons from an athlete I've seen in a long time.
Because we've seen it a few times this year where he's had
gems.
Dominant performances.
10 straight strikeouts.
10 straight strikeouts. And then the one against the Marlins where he had 10 strikeouts but was out after four innings because he also gave up like seven earned runs.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who the hell is this guy?
It's a very strange season. Unfortunately, they squandered the game last night. I thought they were going to take two or three from the Padres because that's just what this team is.
Right.
You get swept by the Diamondbacks, and I was like, watch, they'll take two or three from the Padres. And, you know, now the Padres and Reds are tied for the second wild card race. The Phillies lose last night in excruciating fashion. Aaron Nola giving up a three-run Cronenworth bomb in the ninth inning. I believe he was at 117 pitches.
Yep, it was 117th pitch of the night.
It was by far, I believe, his longest outing of the year. I think he had only gotten up to 107 or 108.
Yeah, I think that was the game where he came out to pitch one more inning for the Braves, and we all thought he was done. I was there that day. It was a Sunday game, and he walks out on the on-deck circle in the eighth inning. People go nuts because he had 100 pitches, and then he gave up that home run with two outs. So then they had to bring in Ranger Suarez, and then people booed Joe Girardi for it because they wanted to see the complete game.
So it begs the question last night. Is it another one of those baseball questions that's just there might not be a right answer?
Correct.
And the right answer is probably whatever results end up working out. So last night you can kind of unofficially call it the wrong decision.
Yes.
But at the time, when you're facing it, the guy's dealing. He does have a pedigree of being a great pitcher previous to this season and at times during this season. But he's getting up there in his highest pitch total of the year. Padres have a nasty lineup. You get two runners on base. You traded for Ian Kennedy for a reason.
Right. And he was ready to go. He came in. I can't put myself in Joe Girardi's shoes. I think I would have erred on the side of perhaps going to the bullpen.
Well, I mean, and
it's
and,
easy to say that now, hindsight being 20/20.
Well, right.
But when a guy's approaching 120 pitches and he puts a couple guys on, it's like, Ian Kennedy, I'd probably give the call to the bullpen.
Right, and here's the thing. So it goes back to last week. We kind of had a similar conversation. Now, it was a brighter note because they won the game. But you and I talked about, we were on the morning after Matt Moore.
Same conversation.
Had his six no-hit innings, and then Joe Girardi made the decision to pull him from the game. And I understood why. And I would have, like, I didn't feel a certain type of way either way, right? Like, if
I don't think there's a right decision. In these decisions, it's the gut, right?
Right. And I talked about it last week. Every once in a while, things just click for a pitcher. And maybe that was Matt Moore's click moment last week. I'm not saying for the rest of the season, even though he pitched well Friday night. But what I'm saying is, in a specific game, arm angle works. Everything's going perfectly for you. So I don't blame Joe Girardi for pulling him because it's Matt Moore and he's struggled all season long. So why is the answer different for Aaron Nola? I know on paper, the name, you go, well, it's Aaron Nola.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But this isn't Aaron Nola of the past four seasons.
And
or
I just
three
saw,
seasons.
I see on MLB.com, Aaron Nola in his previous three starts before last night had a 6.08 ERA.
Mm.
Right? Like, he has a lot of high ERA stretches. And I get why you start the ninth inning with him, but like you said, once you have some guys on,
yeah,
and you have Ian Kennedy available,
yeah,
and you traded for him.
So is this one you put on Girardi? Look, it's hindsight being 20/20. The next morning, in the moment, it's a much different animal.
Right. He said, so after the game, he said Noel was so good, you could probably say he just made one mistake all night.
Probably. I think
and that one mistake was the two-run home
run. I think Cronenworth more or less said the same thing. Yeah. He was like, yeah, Noel was ridiculous. He was painting corners. He had his stuff. I was just trying to drive a ball and got one out, you know, over the plate that I was lucky to connect on. So, I mean, when the other team's batter is telling you the guy's that good that night, I guess Girardi made the right decision. You know, but they lost.
And Girardi also mentioned that Friday night they had to use their bullpen a lot. So,
well, Matt Moore starts will do that to you.
You're riding with your quote-unquote ace. That is the franchise's ace, Aaron.
We all know the real ace.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I guess Joe Girardi, I can't blame him for it. I can't.
But it doesn't make the loss any less excruciating.
No, it sucks.
The Phillies are now five games back of the Atlanta Braves. That is getting away from them pretty quickly. Braves are 9-1 in their last 10, and I know how much you like playoff percentages, Andrew. The Braves are sitting at 80.5%.
That could change tomorrow.
It could change tomorrow if they lose and the Phillies win. That's how percentages work.
I hate percentages.
It's just a quantification of the
back.
Schedule.
That's the quantification.
Yes.
They're five back.
And that gives you about a close to 20% chance.
That's my quantification.
Yeah, there you go.
They're
so the
five
Phillies,
games back in the standings.
Phillies sit at 19.5%.
And what does the percentage say anything about leaking oil? Does the percentage say anything about the Braves being hot?
Well, yeah, that's why it's up at 80.5%, Andrew. This is how it works. 9-1 in your last 10 gets you hot. The Braves run differential, and look, the Phillies ultimately don't deserve to be a playoff team when you see these numbers. The Braves run differential on the season is a plus 90. The Philadelphia Phillies run differential on the season is minus 25.
Yeah, that's a problem. That's a problem, and it's not just because they had a few games where they got crushed.
No, this is consistently a problem.
Right.
You know, that we sit here and go, oh, the Mets suck. The Mets are falling apart.
They do.
Yeah, but their run differential is minus 29. So you're right there with the team calling that we're calling sucks.
Yeah.
They're probably looking at the Phillies going, oh, well, their run differential sucks too. They suck.
Whoever said that the Phillies were good, I was having a good time saying that they could win this division, which is still up for grabs.
Well, this is what makes them so annoying because in that 8-game stretch, you're going, all right, maybe something finally clicked.
Yeah.
They are an improved team since the trade deadline. Maybe something clicked. And there is no click with this team. It's a hot spurt, and it's...
Yeah, but here's the thing. And you said it Friday morning when I was in with you for the show with Bob and John out.
Yeah,
you said the most typical Phillies thing would be to win this series.
Yeah.
And they still might.
They can win the series.
And
today.
That would be a successful weekend series.
In San Diego? Hell yeah.
Yeah. And
but the problem is you can't cost games, and that's what you did yesterday. And Andrew Knapp, everybody's favorite catcher because of the ERAs.
Yeah.
Turn the damn glove.
Nobody likes Knapp.
You're a professional catcher.
Nobody likes Knapp.
He stinks, dude. He's awful. I have to say it over and over again. To be a backup catcher in the league,
you have to be a stud defensively.
Defensively, or at least you have this huge bat.
Yeah,
right?
Something.
He doesn't have any of them.
Yeah. You going with Marshawn next year as your backup?
I'll go with anyone. You can't go with Andrew Knapp anymore. It's like the Velasquez thing. We know like he hasn't gotten better.
I believe Andrew
over
Knapp,
these course of like what 4 and 8 years now. Andrew
yeah,
Knapp?
It feels like a decade.
Is he like Voracek?
Yeah,
he's been here forever.
He was taking a couple picks ahead of Cody Bellinger.
Yes, if I'm not mistaken,
that's a fun Andrew
this is
Knapp
his
fact.
Fifth season, dude.
It feels like forever.
I have seen
what's
Andrew Knapp
career average?
Play 300 games in a Phillies uniform.
Yee.
His career average is .216.
Wow.
Okay. He stinks.
Okay.
My God. His career war is -3.2.
Okay, yeah. Time to move on.
Like, he hurts you. He stinks. And then he can't even field.
Yeah, that's a costly.
You can't let that get by you, dude. I know the big story is the home run that Nola gives up. I get it. And whether or not Girardi should have kept it. But that can't go unnoticed.
No, that's unacceptable. And it just goes to the point that this is the worst Phillies defensive team I've ever seen. It's not even close. I mean, let's just go around the diamond real quick. Catcher, if Knapp's in, subpar.
Yes.
First base, Hoskins, subpar to bad. Second base.
No. Bad.
Bad. Segura is solid. You know, he's probably an average war.
Well, second base is his position.
Yeah.
It's not shortstop where they played him.
Didi's
third base.
Didi's been good in the past, but horrible now.
I don't know what it is. He can't even make throws.
Yeah, Torres is solid.
Yeah, but
Bohm is a butcher.
But Torres can't be an everyday player.
No.
Which sucks.
McCutcheon is subpar, slightly less than average corner outfielder defensively.
He's still has a decent amount of range, which shocks me.
He's misread a couple balls this year.
I know,
year
he has. But after he blew out his knee, I thought he had nothing left, and
yeah,
he surprised me.
But he's...
He's been better than Harper in the outfield.
Sure, but neither are good.
Right.
And then center field, what the hell is going on at that position? There's just really nobody outside Gene Segura that plays decent defense on this team.
And JT.
And JT, yeah.
When he plays.
Two of your nine spots. Two of your eight spots, excuse me.
Yeah, pretty much.
That has to change.
I mean, because
they're not good enough to overcome defensive woes.
Even though you know how I feel about the guy. Odubel can make some incredible plays in center field, but then he's also just dumb.
Yeah, he's also a dope.
But he's an idiot. It's not even
a baseball idiot.
He's like, yeah, exact. Well, no.
Well, okay. I'll let that.
Idiot, period.
but his baseball IQ on top
he's
of that
dumb.
Is
yeah.
not good.
No, and I watch some of the things he does in the outfield. Like there's times where he's diving when he shouldn't be.
Yeah, he doesn't read balls well.
No, he doesn't.
The Phillies need to fix their defense in a big way. You know, Ricky talked about it on Friday with us. So and that's something we're going to get into today. What the hell is the direction of this team? Because I don't think there's an easy answer. There's not an obvious answer. You know, Ricky was open to dropping the bomb and blowing it up and listening to offers on pretty much everyone. That might be something they have to do. And that might include if somebody wanted Bryce Harper, what are you getting in return for something like that? If somebody wants Zach Wheeler, I know you can't.
You need
butts in the seats. And they don't have a farm system, so they have to spend.
You need to start some sort of trajectory upward. You do at some point, but
is it coming in the next 2 or 3
years?
Here's
the thing. All right, what if
trying to put myself in Middleton's shoes?
What if Nola figures it out?
Then you have a solid 1-2, and
you have Wheeler Nola.
Yeah,
and that's good.
It's better than most teams.
That's what it should have been. But he has had such an issue this season pitching in big moments. And yesterday he pitched very well. You can see that he still has his stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Particular nights.
Right. Exactly. It's out of nowhere. All of a sudden he's Aaron Nola of 2-3 years ago when, his ERA was in the 2s. But then there's the other nights where he's just an absolute disaster. But if he's pitching well, Wheeler Nola's pretty damn good, and then you'll still have Gibson because he's got 1 year left. That's a pretty good three guy to have.
It is.
Eflin has the 3-4
is solid.
Now, I don't look at that rotation. I go, wow, that's the best rotation in Major League Baseball by any means, but that's how Nola has hurt you this year.
Yeah.
Because if he's pitched well, or at least half of what he normally is, you're in such a different position right now.
Yeah.
And Eflin's injury, obviously.
Yeah, that's killing them, and Reese's injury certainly isn't helping either.
Oh, yeah, I mean, the offense, ever since he's been out, the power numbers are down, the averages are down for everyone. It sucks.
Yeah, we're having fun, huh?
Yeah.
This is meaningful Phillies baseball.
It really stinks right now.
Yeah. But I tried to put myself in John Middleton's shoes, and he's got to be pissed. And, you know, I'm not one to defend ownership, but when you're spending $185 million on a roster, $190 million on a roster, and getting these results, that's not good enough. And there's no farm system to look to.
Well, and that's why he had to fire Klentak.
Yeah. And
it's not Dombrowski's fault.
No, he's not here.
Girardi's fault. Whether you want to say he's made poor managerial decisions, go for it. I agree with you. But the farm system sucks because of Matt Klentak.
Yeah.
You were the number one overall pick.
And he's still employed by the
team. Yeah.
Just hanging around, collecting paychecks.
Exactly. Because he's not doing anything.
No.
Like, I know your boy Patty Picture Show, Pat Egan, is still wanting to give Moniak a shot. When I see him play, he seems completely overmatched. And I don't know if that's a because he's not playing every day sort of deal. Like, he's crushing in AAA. Maybe he can hit AAA pitching.
Yeah. He physically doesn't look.
And can't in the major leagues.
Like,
that's
he's
a possibility.
Ready. Sure.
There are guys that are lifers in the minor leagues, and then once they get to the big leagues, aren't that good.
Sure.
It's a thing.
Yeah,
it's okay.
It tends to be a thing with the Phillies a lot.
Yeah, because they picked the wrong guys. Like, the Kyle Gibson trade was great because you had one pitcher who you gave up that can't pitch past three innings.
Yeah, that's just...
And then another pitcher in Kevin Gowdy who you took in the second round and may never play in Major League Baseball. Like, he may never play, and he was a second-round pick.
Yeah, and they took him because they could, for signability reasons.
Exactly.
In the first round, they went cheaper. It's just, I don't know what the direction of this team is. I don't know what the answer is if I'm Dombrowski staring at this roster next year. One thing's for sure, they need to improve their team defense. They need a leadoff hitter, a true blue, set-the-table leadoff guy, because you can't squander RBI opportunities for Bryce Harper at the rate in which they did this year. This was dating back 3 weeks, but there was 178 guys in Major League Baseball with more RBI opportunities than Bryce Harper.
Right, which is a problem.
You need a leadoff guy. You need a bit better defensive team. And that's the trickiest one because, sure, McCutchen might be gone, most likely will be gone. You can improve defensively there with a signing. That's not difficult. Center field's an absolute mess. What's the direction there? You can't enter a season with Odubel, Hazley, and Moniak again and expect something.
And Quinn.
And expect something different. Like, they're telling you what they are. I don't want to give up on Hazley just yet, but he's a bench player at best.
Why don't you want to give up on Hazley? Like, I see.
Well, because he just disappeared this year.
Mr. Tappers. No, before he disappeared.
If he's a bench bat.
Oh, let me slap one over.
If he's a bench bat, it could be okay. I'm not saying to count on him as a starter.
That's the thing that sucks. Like, wow, the eighth overall pick. We're hoping he's a bench bat.
Well, there's a Phillies draft pick tied to him.
God.
Right field, you're locked in with, first base. I really hope there's a DH.
Like, it's crazy. It's not rocket science how to fix this team, but there's so many needs.
They're locked into a lot of these guys, too.
Yeah, I mean, Didi's not going anywhere. He's got 1 year left.
Yeah, 1 year, $12 million. Maybe you platoon him at some point next year.
And I know, we talked about it with Ricky. You should answer every phone call, including Bryce and JT. Who's going to take those contracts on?
It's a good question.
Dude, Bryce Harper, you would be locked up for another 10 years.
Well, Bryce is giving you his value now, but 8-9 years from now,
right?
And people, who wants that?
People know that.
Yeah,
the
sure.
Albert Pujols contracts of the world, Miguel Cabrera's, all those contracts, they know how it works out. So why?
And I don't think they work out very often.
And I'm sorry, I love Bryce.
Yeah.
But
I was screaming from the hilltops to sign him. So.
Me too, and he's playing like an MVP this year.
But you had to because you don't have anything in
right.
your system that's exciting.
But So, all right, so he's had one. Well, he had a pretty damn good year his first year here, but that was 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
Three years ago.
And he's having a good year now, so two out of three ain't bad.
And last year was weird as hell.
But is somebody going to pick, like, has he done enough for a team to go, here, take everything. Take all our top prospects because we want 10 more years of Bryce Harper. Like, has he done enough to warrant that?
The longevity of it has always been the
issue.
Exactly. The annual
JT,
money is nothing.
JT's getting paid a lot of money.
Yeah, he needs to be better.
He's not had as good of a season.
His OPS stinks.
I still think he's the best catcher in baseball, but he's not having a good year, so is somebody going to pick up that contract?
Ricky thinks he's hurt or something. That would at least explain it.
I don't think he just lost it.
But I want to talk about the direction of this organization right now because, you know, this is kind of what they are. I think we all were in the 85-86 win total in the beginning of the season. They're probably going to come short of that now. It's another disappointing season with high money spent, not a lot of hope in the system within. And it's just, where does this team go? Do you do the Ricky Vitalico style of GMing this offseason and listen to offers on everyone?
I say you listen. I don't think you actively shop, though. I don't think you're making the call.
But do you put the word out to the league that I'm available for a call on
and
anyone?
I think that's what you're supposed to do. If you're a team like this where you're, you know, fighting to stay above 500 all season long, I mean, they're back to just, what, one game over 500 all of a sudden?
Yeah.
Like, think about that for a second. Yeah. So, yeah.
I mean, they're a 500 team. And you're spending top five money in baseball to get to that 500 team.
So, you should put that word out.
They have no excuses.
I'm not saying I want them to start shopping. Shopping players away.
No, there's a difference between taking calls.
But taking calls, yeah, it's your job to do that.
So, if you have any, thoughts on the direction of this organization, they need to determine what they are this offseason and the direction of this team for the next 3 or 4 years because right now it's not looking great. There isn't a bright outlook here in South Philadelphia. They might just be this for a while, and this is excruciating. Sunday morning, Wake and Bake Show. He's Andrew Salchunas. I'm Jamie Lynch. Coming up, I do want to get into the Eagles a little bit as well. Ben Simmons just continues to troll on Instagram. And
there
is a dark cloud hanging over Sixers excitement. We can talk about that as well.
Sure.
It sucks. This weekend's programming is brought to you by Hers. Do you have what it tastes? Pick up a bag of Hers Flavor Mix Mystery and make your guess online for a chance to win $10,000 and a year's supply of Hers. Visit Hers on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for more info on how to enter and solve the Hers mystery.
That's a good tag there. Do you have what it tastes?
Taste. I love Hers.
That's a good workout, you guys, Hers.
Yeah. I'd love a Hers rack in the studio where there's just, you know, swimming in Hers chips here.
That was the Hers crunch of the broadcast.
Love Hers. He's Andrew Salchunas. I'm Jamie Lynch. We got Dylan McKinnon in with us. Open lines if you want to talk about the direction of this Phillies team because I'm at a loss. I don't know what they do for the next 3 years. Our pets' heads are falling off. Time at the Fanatic is 9:23.
Weekends on the Fanatic. Jamie Lynch and Andrew Salchunas. Sports never stops. Listen all weekend to 97.5 The Fanatic. Philadelphia.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back in to Wake and Bake Radio. Jamie Lynch, Andrew Salchunas, Tyler Zuli coming up at 12 after us. The Dead & Company were in town last night at Citizens Bank Park.
Oh, that's right.
I had some jealousy that I wasn't able to be there.
Are you a Deadhead?
Yeah. I've liked them since like sixth grade.
Okay.
Young kid. It's not a young kid
type
of band to get into. But I remember we went to a road trip in Cleveland. I think we were driving to Chicago, stopped in Cleveland, and we did the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I remember I was allowed to pick one CD from the gift store,
and
I picked a Dix Picks Dead album, nice. And this was probably 93,
probably shortly after Jerry had passed. I think he was 94, 95, whatever it was. But yeah, they're continuing on. They're a good band. John Mayer steps in the role of Jerry, and pretty much it's the same. It's the same shebang. They play all the hits and everything. It's
Have you seen them multiple times?
I've only seen them twice. I wish I could have gotten down last night.
I
like Citizens Bank for a state concert. It's a good time.
Brian Seltzer, who's
Captain Deadhead.
Sixers. Yeah, he. I was in Chicago for some Lithuanian thing when he went out. We were on the same flight.
Oh, really?
He flew out to Chicago.
That was when they kicked off.
It was at Soldier Field, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it was.
And he went to see the Grateful Dead. Awesome.
It was a big, I forget what was special about that concert, but it was a bigger one. It might have been their first time back,
okay.
Or they were making an album out of it. I forget whatever it was. But the other night, the Citizens Bank had the Hella Mega Tour right into Dead & Company.
Yeah,
so
like
two
like
very
Green Day was here and all
two
that
very
of
conflicting kind of concerts going on. Have you seen a concert at? I saw Bruce at Citizens Bank.
I saw
Buffett.
I saw the Eagles at Citizens Bank Park, and it was
the Eagles.
I know. As I was saying it,
I was like huh?
Sound weird. I saw the Eagles perform there a few years ago.
It's not bad.
That was cool.
It is. With them in center field.
We sat in the
field.
It was
did you?
Yeah.
I haven't been down on the field. Bruce, we sat on the first base side. Buffett, I think we sat in the outfield left third base side. But it's cool. I haven't been down on the field yet.
I had a total loser moment when I was at that concert. Because they did at one point the whole, all right, everybody stand and cheer for the Eagles, whatever. And so everybody in the stands goes nuts. And I'm on the field, and I think where I was sitting was around it was the grass of shortstop, right? Because they covered the dirt.
Sure.
And I was like, this is where Jimmy Rollins was standing when they won the World Series. And I'm looking at the crowd, I was like, this is what Jimmy Rollins heard when they won the World Series.
Yeah. I was down on the field at the Vet for a couple concerts, but no, I haven't been down on the field for Citizens Bank Park.
That's cool.
Yeah, that is cool. Anytime you can... stand in the presence of where greatness happened. It's cool.
It
hits you in the feels. So coming up, we'll get into the weekend news dump that Andrew's talking about.
Working hard on it.
Yeah, we've been talking a lot about the Phillies today. You know, I want to get into some Eagles because apparently there's not much of an itch going on in town. Rodney in East Mount Airy wants to talk about Ben Simmons. He kind of had one of my new favorite things is reading the comments section on Ben Simmons' social media posts lately.
How's that going?
So the other day he posts, he's just trolling us at this point, and it's certainly looking like he's going to be back, and I would imagine both situations.
It's not going to go well.
It's not going to go well, and I have a feeling that Dame is going to, you know, give it a shot in Portland and go, you know, 20 games into the season, go, all right, yeah, this is the same Portland product I've been stuck in for a decade. Time for me to go elsewhere. That's just my gut. But it's not going well. So he posted a pic the other day. One is him driving away, giving the peace sign in, like, you know, one of his expensive, ridiculous cars. The next one was a shot in the gym. You know, of course, I got to post it. I'm in the lab.
In the lab, bro.
In the lab.
I'm in the lab.
And then the caption said, I believe it was, the man that wants to move mountains first has to start by moving rocks. And the comments had me cracking up.
Some of these athletes think they have to be deep? Like, it's not that deep, dude.
No, I don't think Ben Simmons is a deep
player.
Dude.
Yeah, you're a basketball player.
So some of the comments were, how about you just dunk the rock?
Yeah, exactly.
Or how about you shoot the rock?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's not worry about moving rocks. How about you shoot the rock? So the comment sections are pretty funny on his post. But it is looking more and more like he's probably going to be a Sixer to start the year. And
it's going to suck, man.
Yeah. Like, I was talking to my buddy a couple weeks ago, and he's like, Sixers and Sixers fans need a break from one another for a little while.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
And I was like, I totally agree, but it's impossible right now with this kind of hanging over your Sixers fans' heads.
Yeah. Oh,
I thought post-Olympics there was going to be a little more movement. It turns out there's not. Now you're probably going to have to wait. You're probably going to have to get him in camp. And how he's received by the fans next year is going to be very interesting.
I hope he gets booed. I might go to the first home game.
Yeah?
Just to see the reaction during the...
I thought you were going to say to boo. No, I want to see the reaction as well.
Yeah, like I kind of want to go just to be like, all right, what's this going to be like?
Devon and I were talking about it Friday night. Like, they're still probably a top three team in the East next year if they run it back. You know, Milwaukee gets their respect. Brooklyn gets their respect. Sixers are probably right there at three. I mean, Boston perhaps maybe gets better with Brown getting healthy. You know, Stevens has been removed, so maybe that changes some. Miami's solid, but
yeah, they're solid.
They don't frighten me.
New York doesn't scare me.
No. Atlanta's up and coming. They might take another step. We'll see.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
They
it's
can,
all
they
on
can
Ben.
Finish number one.
Sure.
Like they did last year.
And
come playoff time, teams will defend them a certain way and they will lose.
Yeah. And I won't even if they win the one seed again, it's like
I'm not gonna get excited.
Okay, cool. What's gonna happen in the playoffs?
The Phillies began that series with the Nationals, and then they swept the Mets. It was the 8-game winning streak. I told Connor Thomas, if I got excited once this week, you could smack me in the face. And if I get excited when the Sixers are playing well with Ben Simmons on the team, because he will probably be on the team to start the season.
Looking more and more like
I will allow you to smack me in the face.
Yeah?
Yeah, just to remind
me. Any excitement?
Yeah. Well, like, unless Embiid...
Well, Embiid should be an MVP candidate again.
Right, but if I'm saying... Wow, this team could do something. I want you to smack me in
well,
the face.
You know, John and Pat and Bob were kind of putting me to the grills the other day because I was like, I think it's just best for both parties to move on at this point. I think Ben can probably maybe get over that hump somewhere else. I don't know if he's going to get over that hump here. And, you know, they said, well, what if he shows you, you know, something drastically different during the season? I was like, I can revisit the conversation, but I have no trust that something drastically different will be shown.
Oh, no, yeah, you can't.
He's lost the trust of the fan base, and once you get to that point...
And when he ends the season again saying, how'd I play defensively?
Yeah.
How many assists did I have?
Well...
Dude, you still can't notice that?
Yeah. A good coach can take good defenders away, and you saw that. I mean...
Yeah, exactly.
The Sixers have three of the best defenders in the NBA, and Joel, Matisse, and Ben. How'd that work out versus the Hawks? Oh, right. Let's talk to Rodney in Mount Airy real quick before we get to the weekend news dump. What's up, Rodney?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you, man?
I'm trying to hang in there. You know, weekend is pretty, you know, half good, half not due to the rain. But
yeah, this weather sucks. So what's on your mind with Ben Simmons?
Listen, before I say this, I just want to say, you know, when we drafted Markelle Fultz, I wanted us... Now, I know we couldn't get a Tatum if we wouldn't have made that trade with the Celtics. They was going to draft a Tatum. I was either Tatum or De'Aaron Fox. Now, you know, we got Fultz, and you saw what happened. And you seeing what's happening with Ben Simmons. I probably was, like, the only one when it was time to trade Markelle Fultz that I don't know if we should... trade Markelle Fultz this early because he's only 21, and do y'all really believe it? Cause,
it wasn't working here, though. That's the thing.
Yeah,
I think
but,
his camp wanted out, too.
Yeah.
I think his mom was... For some reason, the Fultz family thought Markelle was mistreated here, which for the life of me, I'll never understand because that kid got blind love and support for 2 years. I don't get it. They obviously viewed it differently, and I think wanted for the same reason is, you know, was he going to fix it here? Probably not. So a change of scenery, I think, was needed.
Yeah, but that Celtics series rubbed me the wrong way. And then the fact that he was messing with Kendall Jenner and that, it's like I'm seeing it all over again. It's like I everybody is mad, but I've seen this when we lost against the Celtics. This is like I wanted him going then. It's like now his value is so low. It's just like, we missed on an opportunity to get some good value for him. And now we stuck with this guy. And I'm just like, and that's the reason why, like, if I was the Sixers, I would have traded Ben Simmons over Fultz. But I can understand if, like, the Fultz camp is like, listen, like, to help this kid, like, trade
him. We need out of here. You people are savages. That's basically what they said. Rodney, have a great weekend, man. Thanks for checking in. We got an interesting tweet from TJ Mont here. He thinks, before we get to the weekend news dump here, he says he thinks the Bulls are actually better on paper. Now, they did improve. They have LaVine, Lonzo, DeRozan. They got DeMar DeRozan, too, who has a fourth piece.
I'm not a big DeRozan.
I'm not either.
I love DeMar DeRozan, but he won't. You can't win with him.
Yeah, we can.
He can't shoot.
We can examine that. We'll take a look at the odds, courtesy of my DraftKings Sportsbook, maybe coming up. But it is time. We've forgotten it the last 2 weeks. This is Wake and Bake Radio, after all. It's time for the Weekend News Dump with Andrew Salcutis.
So the first thing I want to... This isn't really weekend news, but it literally just popped up on my timeline, so I might as well read it. Joe Pompliano.
Yeah, he does the sports business
stuff.
Podcast and email. He always says, you know, sign up for my email, and I tried to, and I never got the emails.
All right.
What the hell, Joe Pompliano?
Like but he just posted a photo or a tweet. You know Cuff and Link, the turtles from Rocky?
Oh, yeah.
They're still kicking.
Are they really?
He still owns them.
Well, they're dinosaurs.
They're 46 years old.
Sly still owns them.
Yes.
Wow.
So he had them in Creed 2 6 years ago, and I didn't even know that.
I don't think I remember that.
But they are 46 years old.
Well, they're basically dinosaurs.
Yeah, I know, but it's just...
They must have been young at the time of filming, I would assume, right?
But yeah. I don't know. I found that fascinating.
Hey, what are their names again? Cuff and Link.
Cuff and Link, man.
Hey, Cuff. Link.
Anyways. so that just popped up. I found it interesting.
Are you a big Sly guy?
Sure, man. I mean, I love Rocky. For the people that rip Rocky.
Nah, Rocky's fine.
Oh, that's all Philly Sports Radio talks about.
No,
that's not true.
Traveling the world, though, like in Australia and some time in Europe, number one thing I get asked when I say I'm from Philadelphia is Rocky.
Really?
Number one, hands down. People internationally are obsessed with Rocky.
It's great.
Yeah.
You're not cool if you're like, oh, I'm Rocky out on sucks. Rocky. Like, you're not cool at all right? So we still are trying to do this whole robot thing, aren't we?
Yeah, I saw this. Is this Tesla involved?
It's Elon Musk.
Oh, boy. Don't send him to Philly, Elon. We will kill that thing.
The Tesla bot is 5'8".
Yikes.
So he's towering over Pat Egan.
Yeah.
The face is a screen, and the body's a screen, and human-level hands they have. They walk.
Human-level hands, meaning opposable thumb and real... hand movement?
Yeah.
Oh, that's creepy.
The Tesla bot, world built by humans for humans, is friendly, eliminates dangerous, repetitive, boring tasks, can carry 45 pounds.
Is there a price tag on these? This is a slippery slope.
I can't even imagine.
Like, I could hire one of these bots to go cut my grass?
Yeah. Speed is only 5 miles per hour.
Well, I mean, when you're walking, what's the average miles per hour?
Well, I'm saying you can run away from it.
Yeah.
Unless
it...
Something clicks.
It becomes alive.
Yeah, exactly.
And that processes or realizes...
Like, why are we doing this?
It's terrifying.
Because you know what's going to happen.
The robots are going to ruin us.
Yes. Then again, I did... one day, Anthony was out, and I was hosting, and it popped up on my timeline. Do you know that robots... went through all the major cities and their roads to determine which had the best roads in the United States, and they determined that Philadelphia had the best roads in the United States.
Are the robots drunk?
Huh?
Maybe. So the robots must not be that smart.
We have the best roads?
Yeah. AI, artificial intelligence, they found out. Yeah, I'll try to send you the link.
I'm not driving in other cities a ton these days anymore.
Imagine Philly's not that good.
But I drive in Philly, and I mean... Just at Germantown Avenue and Cresham Valley Drive, there was a pothole that I think a family of four was living in. It was so big.
Yeah.
So anything where there's cobblestones still always leads to some road issues.
Yeah, our roads aren't great.
No, I would imagine that they are wrong, those robots.
Are you a big Alice Shishkina fan?
Huh?
Alice Shishkina, you a big fan of hers? She is a Russian swimmer.
Okay, should I be a fan?
You might want to be a fan.
Should I smash that follow on Instagram? Is that what you're telling
me? She does synchronized swimming, which I think is probably one of the dumbest sports of all time.
But really hard.
Oh, yeah. Ridiculously
insanely hard.
She talked about her greatness because she is a 3-time gold medal winner. London in 12, Rio, and then she won, took gold this year in Tokyo.
Huh.
She was asked about her success. Here's the quotes from whatever Russian newspaper she was in. I relied on the research of doctors and consulted with Dennis, our doctor. The scientific community says that if you need explosive power, you have to have sex. She also claimed that having sex without orgasm before a competition can benefit those who need, quote, muscle strength. Sex without orgasm before the competition is suitable for those who need muscle strength to achieve the best results.
So she thinks having the evil backed up in you is good?
Yeah.
Creates explosive muscle power?
Yes. So she's telling you right now that...
She's having
in
sex.
In Tokyo, she's having sex, but then is saying, all right, stop.
I need to go compete now. Get away from me. I need to go compete.
I need to go get gold for my country.
Does she have a... She have a boyfriend, does it say? Or is she just grabbing an Olympic athlete and going, you!
That's a good question.
You know what I mean?
That's a great question,
because
actually,
she wasn't allowed to probably bring outsiders into the Olympic Village.
Right.
They were so thoroughly tested and, you know, regulated there. They only had... They had, like, outdoor time they were allowed to. So is she just grabbing good-looking Olympians and going, hey, you!
But then is stopping it. And I wonder if that
is the guy on board. Like,
what's the? I wonder.
Does she say, "Hey, I just need to borrow you for a minute, so I can get ready for my routine"?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I'm sure there's some guys that wouldn't have a problem with that.
Yeah, unless you're not done either. You know what I'm saying? So,
good for her.
When Beasley, softball comes back, you know, or,
yeah, I'm not helping Andrew.
Okay. Must be nice to be Michael Jordan.
Yeah, I would think so.
That'd be pretty cool.
He makes like what? Like $275,000 every time he goes to sleep?
Yeah.
Something like that. Something outrageous.
He made $7 million over the last 2 weeks.
Doing what?
So Messi's new team.
Yeah, he's Paris Saint-Germain now.
Wherever the hell that means.
It's in Paris, Andrew.
Okay.
Paris Saint-Germain. Come on. Saint-Germain neighborhood in Paris is awesome.
All right, cool.
Do it.
They wear Jordan brand.
Yeah, they do.
So everybody.
Oh, just the eyes on Messi. Oh, and the merchandise.
Everybody,
sale.
He has already made $7 million
just
in the
for
last
Messi
two
going to
from
PSG.
Messi jerseys.
And they already have Neymar there, so the jersey sales for PSG are probably about to be the best in the world.
In the first 24 hours, 800,000 Messi jerseys were purchased.
Oh, see, now I was bummed.
Imagine if like your phone's just buzzing like, jersey sale, and you're like, oh yeah, I'm making all this money.
$1.5 million deposited. Oh, cool.
Must be nice.
I was bummed because I'm a Man City fan. Because when I became a fan of the EPL, I was a fan of Balotelli, who, whatever, just ended up being my team. They're kind of like the Yankees of the EPL now.
Okay. So you're a front runner.
It appears front runnerish. Yeah. But Messi was rumored, it was between PSG and Man City. And if he was going to Man City, I was going to smash that order jersey button in about 30 seconds.
The
soccer jersey is a nice item.
I own two soccer jerseys.
Union.
And then Salchunas, number 97.
There you go.
Those are my two soccer
jerseys. But the soccer jersey is a great beach item because they're, you know, usually mesh material. So they dry quick and they're nice and breezy. So the soccer kit is a nice item.
I'm a big long sleeve, like the fishing shirts.
Yeah, sure.
I wear those all the time.
You can get long sleeve soccer shirts.
Yeah, but I'm okay. I like my beach shirt.
Oh, yeah?
You know, once you're in the sun all day,
yeah,
and you want to cover up the entire body.
Yeah,
nice,
sure.
Man.
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler is really cool. We obviously know this.
I saw this the other day, and it angered me.
His agent called him to let him know that he made the All-NBA team, and he hung up on him.
Stop.
Because nothing matters other than winning.
Stop.
I hate him.
Jimmy Butler is such a tryhard.
I wish he was still here.
Right?
I'll be honest, but I hate him.
You know, Egan gives me crap for this all the time because he still wanted him here.
I did too.
See, like, there's a reason he's been on so many teams. He clearly wears out his welcome.
Hey, congrats.
Oh, I don't care. He probably has an All-NBA bonus. He probably got more money for making the team. And you're going to try and tell the media that you hung up because it wasn't winning a title? Shut up.
Yeah.
That's so try-hard.
Yeah, I kind of hate that.
In reality, the phone probably rang and he went, hey, Jimmy, you made an All-NBA team. Hey, cool, man. How much money did I make for that? Because it's probably a bonus.
Like, give
me a break. He's not hanging up the phone.
And then he probably
Shut
told
up.
The agent, hey, tell the story that I
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Up,
hey, I was out practicing. It was 3 a.m. and I was practicing in an empty gym and I got the call from my agent and I hung up and I worked even harder. Like, that's the crap he likes to spin.
Yeah, I kind of hate him, but yeah, I wish he was still here.
Yeah.
All right, last one.
Well, they did choose between Ben and Jimmy, ultimately.
That's true. It must be nice to also have a good lawyer. Now, I can say that this guy had the case, and he was right. The lawyer was right, but it's still ridiculous. So this guy named Daniel Rawls was awarded $5.5 million last July, just a month ago, July 27th. He filed a civil suit against La Fogata Mexican Grill.
Oh, now I want some Mexican.
He got very drunk, went outside, fought another drunk man, fell, and got hurt in the parking lot from falling.
Why does this restaurant owe him a penny?
Because the lawyer was smart. Applebee's does this, and I can say this because I worked at Applebee's my freshman year. You're supposed to have a 3-drink limit at restaurants like this.
Oh, really?
And because they surpassed that drink limit, it was the bartender's fault
so
and the company's
fault.
So he's
irresponsible
and gets
and does some J.O. things
yep.
and gets $5.5
million. Yeah, $5.5 million.
See, like, you're just a J.O. How about that? That's on you.
And I saw the photo of his mugshot because he got arrested, obviously. He just has a scratch on his face, on his nose, like a slight scratch.
That's ridiculous.
And made $5.5 million because the bartenders were not responsible enough.
That sucks. Look, I bartended for a long time. You are supposed to, you know, look out for those yeah. types of things and stop serving, you know, clearly intoxicated people. But, like, okay. But I mean, at some point,
ridiculous.
Like, the J.O. has some
responsibility. Let me read you the last two blurbs from the story here. Rawls sustained a serious and debilitating head injury after he was assaulted by Henriksen and fell over a, quote, uneven parking lot, according to the suit.
Uneven parking lot.
Rawls allegedly has a history of excessive drinking.
Oh, God.
And wherever it's at, their jail records show that he's been arrested twice.
Oh,
February
God.
Of 2019, May of 2021, on charges of public intoxication, and he just got $5.5 million.
I think he's an ass face.
Yeah, that makes me angry. Screw that guy. He deserves nothing. He's Andrew Salchunas. I'm Jamie Lynch. We have one more segment left in here before we hand it over to Tyler Zuli, who's coming up at noon. Phillies are frustrating. Sixers are frustrating. And we do have to touch on the Sixers and their moves over the weekend, which were off-putting, I guess, is to say the least. We'll talk about all that coming up next. He's Andrew Salchunas. I'm Jamie Lynch. Time at the Fanatic is 11:23.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.